welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Right, how are you all feeling? Good. It's been pretty awesome already this morning, hasn't it? I feel like I don't really need to say anything, but I'm going to, because I believe God wants to remind us of some stuff and help us as we go on. Now, God prepares the way for us, right? And I'm going to Wales in a few weeks' time on holiday. So very fitting that God should start talking to me about valleys over the past week. And we're going to look at hills and valleys a bit this morning. Now, does anyone have highs and lows? Put your hand up if you have highs and lows. Does anyone never have any lows? If you've never had a low in your life before, can you put your hand up?
Yeah, come on.
Okay. Now, my wife will confirm this. I have extreme lows, okay? My lows are like, yeah, just don't even go there. And things make me low very quickly. Like, just a few examples. This is to encourage you to think of some of your own, okay? Just so that you can connect a bit better when I'm speaking. Some of mine, did anyone see my parking out in the car park when you turned up?
No.
That was a big low. Sadly, we were running a little bit late as usual and I didn't have time to fix it. Look on your way out, it's bad. Okay, another big low for me, losing keys. Has anyone ever lost their keys before? Like, when you lose your keys, it's like, oh my word, I'm never going to find them again. Help me. Some of you may be able to relate this. Getting a Chinese takeaway and not getting prawn crackers. Like, they always throw them in for free, but every now and again they decide not to, just to really annoy you. And another low, this is one that some of you younger ones may be able to relate to. Poppy had a low a few weeks ago and she lost Cat Cat, her favourite cuddly toy. So it's 7 o'clock in the evening, Daddy had to go and search around town to find Cat Cat just to save the all-night low. Thankfully, Cat Cat was found shopping in Sainsbury's. But we all have lows, though. And sometimes they're because of big things and the people would say they're legit. Sometimes, like many of mine, Claire would say are completely unlegit. But to me, they're legit. I find things like I'm confronted with things that affect my life in a negative way, it is not good. I find it hard to deal with them. And God spoke to me and he said, I want you to lose those valleys in your life. I want you to lose those valleys of destruction, despair, disaster, disappointment, dilemmas, devastation. I tried to think of some that didn't begin with D and I couldn't. Turmoil. Brilliant. Just to help us get a better understanding of this, we're going to do a little demonstration of a popular Bible story that you will all say, or I've heard that before. It involves a guy called David and a guy called Goliath. Now, can I have two volunteers, please? Elizabeth, do you want to come up? Would you like to be David or Goliath? David, okay. Now, these, use your imagination a bit, are mountains, okay? So, David, do you want to stand on that mountain up here? You're allowed to stand on the chairs this morning. And can I have somebody to be Goliath, please? Don't worry, we're not going to stone you.
Come on, Dad.
Okay.
Come on, Dad.
Yeah, is that all right? Okay. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole story again, but Goliath was standing on one hill, and David, he wasn't actually standing on the hill yet, so if you can get down a minute. But all of the Israelite army were over on the other hill. Okay, so you guys, you're going to be the Israelite army. You guys, you can decide what side you want to go on. And you guys, you're going to be the Philistine army. Okay? Now, you all know the story. Goliath and the Philistine army, they were attacking the Israelite army, and the Israelite army wanted to destroy Goliath, but they were all really scared of Goliath, okay? David comes along and climbs up the hill. You. And David looked at Goliath, and Goliath and the Philistine said,
submit. So, otherwise, I'll kill you all. Oh, no, he didn't. He
very
didn't.
Sorry.
No, he didn't.
He said something.
Send one man to fight me.
Yep.
And if you win, we'll all submit to you. And if you lose, you'll all submit to us.
And what did he say to David?
You're a dog. How dare the king send a dog to fight a man?
And he also said, I will destroy you and feed you to the birds. Okay? Is that encouraging?
No.
No. Okay? So David then looked back to his own people, and they said to him, no, sadly they did. They said to David, you're not up for the job. You're not good enough. Look at you. How are you going to defeat this giant? So David, do you want to come down here, David? Was left in a bit of a valley. Do you feel good? This side want to destroy you. And this side, saying that you're not good enough, bringing you to a point of despair. It doesn't feel good, does it? No, okay? But do you know what David did? We'll go back to it later. Okay, if you just wait on your hill. Are you okay staying on your hills? Now, let's just go back to our valleys, okay? So think about the valleys and the low points that we have in our lives. Now, God told me that he wanted to get rid of these valleys of destruction and despair, and that we shouldn't have them in our lives. So, being the great scholar that I am, not, I went through and I researched valleys in the Bible, trying to find the answer that valleys are terrible and we shouldn't have valleys, that they're just bad things that should not exist. I actually discovered that the majority of times that valleys are mentioned in the Bible, the valleys are actually quite good. And valleys are incredibly good places for growing stuff. They're good to camping because they're protected and sheltered. There's a lot of good stuff that happens in valleys. So my idea that God was telling me to destroy the valleys was kind of a bit blown out the window. And I went back to God and I said, okay, what's going on? Like, you said that valleys are bad and we shouldn't have them in our lives, and yet valleys are actually quite good. They have some good things about them. And for those of you who have been reading through Joshua, like, we're just starting to go through when the Israelites are given all of the land that was promised to them. And most of that land contained nice, fertile valleys. So my whole idea of, right, this morning we're going to destroy all of the valleys and get rid of them, was completely messed up. And, what are you saying, God? But then I looked into the story further. And David came back to the valley. And do you know what David did? He didn't listen to what came from either side. He listened to God. And what he did was he called the valley something else. Well, from one side it was being called destruction, and the other side it was being called despair. David actually called the valley victory and freedom. He saw something different. He saw that actually what these people were seeing and what these people were seeing wasn't the same as how God saw it. He saw beyond what just people saw. Verse in Corinthians springs to mind, we live by faith and not by sight. Right, thank you very much, guys. Brilliant acting. I may use you again sometime. Now, just give me a moment. You may have valleys in your life that you can think of. You may have lows that spring to mind, but you may be sitting there thinking, well, I'm on a high at the moment. I've been on a high for many weeks and I don't have anything, so this isn't for me. But actually, God doesn't want us to move into valleys and low points in our life and let them control us. And Romans 12, which many of you probably read yesterday, if you're following the Bible reading plan, it says to give our everyday lives as a living sacrifice to God. Now, I love that verse. I think it's brilliant, and I try to live by it. But I can tell you something. When I hit a low or a valley in my life, suddenly that verse isn't my favourite verse. Like, I can live out the Bible when I'm on a high, but when I'm on a low, sometimes I have to pick and choose. But actually, that's not how God wants us to live. God wants us to live like David, so it doesn't matter whether we're standing on the hill, on the mountain, in a good place, or we're in a low place with lots of challenging stuff going on. God wants us to still be living that life of worship to him, that life of faith where we see beyond where we're at now. Now, and it's not just for us. It's for others around us. It's for the people who God is wanting us to reach out to. Like people see our lives and they see when we're struggling with stuff. And often it's in the struggles and how we deal with them that it speaks the most to people. God said to me, the defining moments that shape lives will be outworked by faith in the valley. Like, you will very rarely have your life shaped and formed and impact others' lives when you're on the mountaintop and everything's going amazing. The shaping of your life and others' lives into how God wants them to be will happen in the low places, in the valleys, where you have to live by faith. You have to look and see beyond. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story now, which God always brings back to me, and it reminds me of this so much. I had a friend who we've been friends for many years. She wasn't a Christian. She had lots of questions, and she often used to phone me up when we used to live near each other, but she'd moved away, and she often used to phone me up and be like, oh, Andy, I've got this going on in my life and that going on. And she want help with her problems. And there was one particular day where I had a long day at work. I just wanted to go to bed. And she phoned me up and she started railing off a list of problems to me. And me being the amazingly compassionate person who I am, just said to her, do you know what? You just need God in your life. Hoping that she'd hang up and just leave me alone. Sadly, for me, she didn't. She was like, oh, really? How can I get God in my life? 3 hours later, yeah. I finally got to bed. But God really challenged me about that, and he said, your response to her wasn't willing and loving and compassionate and wanted, just because you were at a low place in your life, like, she needed help. Were you there, ready, available to help her? So I was like, right, I'm going to change this. I'm going to go and see her, and I'm going to take her through a Know Jesus style course, and I'm going to find a church for her, get her planted in a church, and yeah, I'm going to redeem, or hopefully through me, God is going to redeem what I've just almost screwed up. So I took the one Friday after work, I finished work an hour early, and I took the long journey down to Exeter, which should have taken me 3 hours. At midnight, I was still travelling. I'd left work at like 3 o'clock. Like, it was terrible. It was possibly one of the lowest points in my car journey history, this. My phone died, so I couldn't call her and get directions or help. And I gave up. So I tried to drive back home, and because of Exeter's pathetic one-way system, I could not leave Exeter. I was driving around Exeter in circles for about an hour, and I just could not escape. In hindsight, thank you, Jesus, that happened. But at the time, not good. And after it got to about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I finally decided, after, 10 hours driving, travelling, trying to get there, do you know what? I might pray and ask Jesus to help me. Yeah, maybe I should have thought about that sooner, but sadly I didn't. So I pulled over by the side of the road and I prayed, and God said to me, look in your glove box. So I went in my glove box, and amazingly, there was an in-car charger for my phone. Incredible, I'd never used an in-car charger before in my life, but there was one in my glove box. So I was able to charge my phone up and call my friend. She was like, whoa, I thought you'd given up on me and gone home. Like, what happened? And I eventually got to her house. And do you know what? She was so amazed that I'd persevered in the journey. I tried not to emphasise how annoyed and low I got in my attempts to go home. But she was so amazed that I persevered and I hadn't just neglected her, that she realised how much God valued her life. And she ended up giving her life to God and getting connected with a church. And that's not me, because as I share, I wanted to give up, but God just didn't let me. But it made me realise how in the low points, I need to keep persevering, because it's through the low points that people find their breakthrough, people have their freedom, and people live in more than they are at the moment. And whether that's you personally or you bringing others into that, it doesn't matter. It's still more to glorify God and to bring him glory. Now, this morning, just as a response, I think it'll be great if we just declared out some verses to rename some of these valleys. So just take a moment in your heads now, and I want you to, you may have certain valleys or low points that you get into regularly, like with certain things in your life, maybe frustrations when things don't go right, or maybe you lose things regularly and get annoyed, or maybe you get angry at people easily because of certain things. And God wants to set something in place this morning so that we move out of here, like, within our lives, with declarations. No, I'm not going to live in that anymore. No, in this valley, I'm not going to accept this. And David didn't just go into the valley and, like, have one moment where he was like, oh, okay, I'm going to believe that God's going to help me out in this situation. David had a whole life of going into valleys and actually making it through because he had faith. And we need to be people, like, maybe you don't even know God yet this morning and you're thinking, what is this whole faith thing? Like, I have lots of valleys and lows in my life. Like, is there somebody who can help me out of it? And maybe for you it's just knowing God this morning and making that connection with God, who wants to help you out of these things. Or maybe it is just purely like myself, wanting to live out that Romans 12, every giving your life as an everyday sacrifice and worship to God, and not having these low points where we do things that don't glorify God or our response isn't glorifying to God, but making it our life so that, yeah, in everything I do, I will glorify God. So I've got some verses, because the Bible is always the best way out of these things. The truth will set you free. The truth brings you out into the freedom. And you can talk things over in your head over and over again. And trust me, I've had 33 years of experience and it doesn't do anything. But speaking the truth over you does. So my first verse is Psalm 107, verse 8 to 9. So shall we all stand up for this? Are you up for doing this?
Absolutely.
Yeah? If you, like, I'm not going to make you stand up and read these out, but if you want to, if you're up for doing it, it's just a way of declaring this out now over our lives. So I'm going to turn around because I wrote them all down from the NLT version, and I believe this is the NIV, just so that I don't confuse you all. So, are you ready? Let's go. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Awesome. Does that feel good, yeah? Yeah. Especially the hungry bit, because most of you are probably quite hungry now. Joshua 10, verse 8. This is a good one for victory. So if you're in a situation where you need victory. Okay, let's go. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hands. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." One for new life. Often, in the valleys, in the low places, God wants to bring something new about. But it's about getting through them to get to that new thing. So, Isaiah 43, verse 19. "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Feel free to say amen or shout hallelujah or whatever. Yeah, this is good. What I've said may be like a bit higgledy-piggledy and a load of rubbish, but this is good, solid truth, okay? One for breakthrough, Ephesians 3, verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Yeah, you can celebrate. Which leads us on nicely to the next one, celebration. Sometimes in the low points, it's just good to celebrate if you don't know what else to do. Psalm 30, verse 11 to 12. "You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever." Remember that forever bit, okay? We've just declared that over our lives. We will praise God forever. Okay, new opportunity. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Come on. And finally, one for freedom. John 8, verse 32. "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen. I think we should just carry on that clap and just praise to God just for a minute to celebrate everything that he's doing. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.